Blog Talk Radio.
I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes.
I don't know why gamers never adopted that song. It's so obviously written for us.
It was totally written for us. I can't believe that that thing that I can't apparently say.
4 minutes to save the world is a gamer thing. Now she's imitating me.
I would never do such a thing.
It is all right. All of you do. That just means you have officially crossed over. Welcome,
yes.
Ginger.
Yes, yes. Crossed over to loving the Corey. Adoring the Corey. Yes.
This is how I feel about that.
But girl, you go right on ahead and do that because let me tell you, I'm one.
I'm paying you back for before the show.
You know what? I've still got half of one over here, so I ain't scared.
Well, bring it. Bring your crunch.
I ain't scared.
Your crunch. Bring it. Ah, happy Friday to you all out there.
Oh, my God. It is Friday. Finally. Because, you know, I thought yesterday was Friday, like, all day long.
I thought Wednesday was Friday.
No.
I did. I've been off all week.
Wow, so we've just had one of those weeks all week then.
I've been praying for Friday, I guess.
I would say, oh my God, come on Friday, but Friday just means more work. I'm tired. I know, I've already said, you know, after I get everything I absolutely have to have done today, taking a nap, and it's going to last all night long and into the morning.
I gotta say, I got to play Left 4 Dead, but Walking Dead last night on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I love it.
It was good.
I love it more than Idol Worship. I love it.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm. Nothing like bashing a zombie in the head with a bat. There's nothing like it.
You know, I go back and forth with Idol Worship. You know, for a week or two, I'll just be all about Idol Worship, and then I go, I get tired of it, and I neglect my.
I bet you didn't go back to Cafe World, did you?
Did not go back to Cafe World. No.
Never went back to any of those, Farmville?
No, I never played Farmville.
Uh-uh.
No. That's on the same line as Angry Birds. I have not played it. I'm not going to.
Well, see, the difference is Angry Birds is actually a good game. They're just annoying because they won't go away. It's a good game.
Everywhere.
They're annoying. That's exactly why they're annoying. Give me a chance to miss you.
Yeah, that and the whole $30 for a plushie at Sears? No, screw you.
You get it for $12.99 at Toys R Us. Or for free from a kid. Look, or free from a kid passing by that's not paying attention.
you know, what is it, 50 cents out of the little machine with a claw, if you're good.
True.
But $30 for a plushie that probably took, what, a dollar to make, maybe? Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Ridiculoso.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know. I was just, like, doing the whole Harry Potter thing. Harry Potter? Harry
ridiculous. Potter? It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yes. Hello, how more? Wait a minute. See, you got me calling out spells now. Thanks, Ginger.
You know you love me. Oh, my God. All right. Stripper DJs, I am not following you, okay? Just saying. You're not a gamer. Not happening. All right. So, I guess... You want to talk some news? Can I go first? You want to go first? Who wants to go first? I'm going to steal your story from last night, by the way.
Go right ahead, dear.
All right. Last night, if you weren't watching or listening to our show, which you should have been, shame on you. It was awesome. Corey broke some very, very, very breaking news at that point, so I guess it's late breaking now. But anyways, early break. Anyway, it's news. It's news. Battle.net suffers security breach. Blizzard Entertainment... perfect, you know? And co-founder Mike Morhaime issued a statement late last night, revealing that Battle.net had been infiltrated by unknown sources and that some user data may have been compromised. Though his note to the community downplayed the security breach, Morhaime acknowledged that a list of email addresses for global Battle.net users outside of China, cryptographically scrambled versions of Battle.net passwords, answers to personal security questions, and information related to mobile and dial-in authenticators were illegally accessed. The good news is that the financial data was not touched. At this time, we found no evidence that financial information such as credit cards, billing addresses, or real names were compromised. Our investigation is ongoing. So far, nothing suggests that these pieces of information have been accessed. Blizzard suggests that users change their passwords as a precaution and update their security questions with a new answer. They also point out that Battle.net users should be wary of phishing schemes or someone pretending to be from Blizzard asks you for personal or financial information. As most companies will tell you, they don't ever ask you for such information via email. Blizzard also says that in these days ahead, users will be prompted to make changes to their Battle.net accounts for the sake of their safety. The security breach affects everyone outside of China, including North America, Latin America, Australia, New Zealand, and Southeast Asia. European servers were not listed in Morhaime's statement. Finally, Morhaime offers a sincere apology to Battle.net users and emphasizes that the company is serious about its users' safety and security. We take the security of your personal information very seriously, and we are truly sorry that this happened. You are so sorry that this happened months ago, and you are just now coming out about it. You're acting like this happened last night. This did not happen last night. This has been ongoing for a while. So nice try, Mr. Morhaime. You are a liar and a skeez bucket. Oh, yes, I went there. And Corey's all quiet.
It's because I am laughing. You just put two slangs together from two completely different eras. Skis and bucket. I believe I am done for the weekend.
You know you love me.
Speaking of things going on and done for the weekend, if you are over near Aberte, starting today through Sunday, Dare to Proto Play is going on. It's an indie games fest going at Aberte University over in Scotland. If you're over that way, you should be there now because it's like 6 in the evening. And that's where gamers go at 6 in the evening on a Friday. We don't go clubbing. We go gaming. So anyway, as if this would come as some surprise to some people, Sony says that they are having a difficult time getting third parties to click the castanets, onto their console. Sony Computer Entertainment Worldwide Studios President Shuhei Yoshida has admitted that Sony is having a tough time getting third-party developers to support the PlayStation Vita. We believe it's because of the castanets, because castanets don't look good when guys hold them, only women. The system has had a rough start worldwide, with Nintendo's 3DS providing strong competition following a price drop. Since we're having a more difficult time than we anticipated in terms of getting support from third-party publishers, but that's our job. This is what he told the PlayStation Official magazine. He says, we'll continue to talk to development communities and publishing partners and tell them why Vita can provide a great experience for the IPs they have, and I hope the Assassin's Creed game will prove that. Sony has declined to drop the price of the PlayStation Vita, instead hoping that titles like Assassin's Creed 3, Liberation, and Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified pull consumers in this holiday season. If not, maybe the castanets and a nice Spanish hair comb should do the trick.
You totally went there. Nice Spanish hair comb. Wow.
I'm sorry. Every time I hear it, that's all I hear is click, 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 and I see a woman dancing around on, I don't think, game console. This is not a good name for a console.
No,
You should have called it the PSP Rebirth or something like that, or something. Mm-hmm. What's a good word for rebirth? Phoenix. There you go. The PSP Phoenix would have been awesome. Right?
Something, yeah. Why not?
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I would have thought that was hot. You could have made it all red and with flames on it. Mm-hmm. They could have lit up. What if they lit up when you played? Tell me that wouldn't be hot. Kind of like those alien eyes from the Alienware laptop. It would be hot. It would be.
That's not what I'm laughing about. I'm sorry. TJ's new sweep.
I am not
speaking today. Avatar on Walking Dead for Facebook looks like Barack Obama in a pickup basketball game. That's funny.
You know what, Jay?
It's wrong. That's wrong, Jay. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I guess we need another... Where is this one? I just had this one. I had one. I wanted to talk about. I really did. I've lost it, but that's fine. I got a different one. That's fine.
I'm sorry. Right, so, I said Walking Dead, and now I can't stop singing the song in my head from the theme music.
You'll go ahead and sing that. I am munching on my, what are these itty-bitty orange-looking things? They're like tiny?
You know what? I'm tired of you getting cute stuff to eat and not sharing, Ginger.
They're so good. They're so sweet. Nom.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I should go fold it. Okay, so, Anonymous vows revenge for a demonoid takedown. After the Ukrainian government...
Juicy.
Yeah. After the Ukrainian government took down the BitTorrent site Demonoid at the request of Interpol, hacktivist group Anonymous attacked several government websites and vowed more action in the future as a form of protest. The Kyiv, whatever post, is reporting that the web pages for the Ukrainian Anti-Piracy Association, the Ukrainian Agency of Copyright and Related Rights, and the National Television and Radio Broadcasting Council of Ukraine were unavailable for a short amount of time. Members of Anonymous announced plans on YouTube, Twitter, and other websites where they convey messages to attack those responsible for the interruption. They're calling these attacks Operation Demonoid Engaged. Yeah. All right, Anonymous, can you find a better way to fight? Or something.
Well, you know, this time I have to agree with them because the government is as much as they go after hackers,
mm-hmm.
they're now doing it to somebody. They're actually attacking Demonoid. So maybe they need to understand. Maybe they need to be shown how it's done. I'm just saying.
So they actually attacked Demonoid. Oh.
Yeah, they were launching DDoS.
I missed that part. That's... Oh, all right. See, Anonymous can show you how to do it, dude.
Yeah, so I can't say as I'm mad at them. Maybe, it's sad that we have to resort mm-hmm. to this. It is vigilantism. We have to resort to this to get the government to act right. If you all would just act
digital
right.
Digital Robin Hood.
That's what you need to be, Anonymous, if you're going to do this, if you want the people to back you at least, is be Digital Robin Hood, like Ginger said.
I don't want to be Maid Marian. Can I be her nurse? That chick? What was her name? I can't think of her name.
I don't know. I just want to be the chick that walks around serving the mead so I can take a couple of swigs.
I want to be Maid Marian's companion or whatever it was because, well, no, but only the one from Men in Tights. She was hilarious.
I haven't seen that one yet.
This is an old movie. How can you not see it?
How can I not see it? Y'all act like I do watch some TV, but that's not one of the TVs that I watch. There's no blood and gore in it.
No, it was funny. It was singing and it was Men in Tights.
Why do I want funny? I have you all for entertainment. You all make me laugh.
Men in Tights. It was hilarious.
Wait a minute. Do they look good in the tights? Is that what we're
trying
to get across?
Some of them did.
Some of them like, oh my God. You know what? I'm done talking to you for the day.
But it was hilarious. It's hilarious. I need to find that and watch it again. I wonder if they have it on Netflix. Netflix.com.
Can somebody get our Ginger? She is out of control. Our Ginger is out of control.
No way, man. I'm in perfect control. Men and tights.
But I don't. Back to what we were talking about, because we've got completely off topic because we're full of sugar. We're full of sugar already.
But it's natural sugar and it's so good.
Mine is not natural.
Not your deal.
I think Anonymous, show them how it's done. Government.
Yeah.
Keep your chocolate out of our peanut butter.
this is the Ukrainian government that did it. It had
our government is behind it.
So far, but.
You know our government's behind it somehow because comes down to the same Kim.com thing. You know they're behind it somewhere.
Yeah.
Our government tries to pretend like they don't do any sneaky, underhanded things, but they
love. Oh, no, we are always doing sneaky, underhanded things.
They are always doing something. We know you're up to something.
Exactly.
Okay, time for some more news.
Bye.
All right. More news about our favorite new chick, our HBIC head bitch in charge, Melissa Mayer.
Ooh.
That's right. The new CEO over at Yahoo, Ms. Marissa Mayer, has been attempting to recruit Twitter VP Katie Jacobs Stanton to boost the company's media products. Right? Run the world.
We run the world.
That's right, girls. Mayer is reportedly pushing Yahoo to focus more on its products and users. According to VentureBeat, this is a dramatic shift that could help revive the company. She even removed Yahoo's stock ticker, as we told you yesterday, from its internal company website to get employees thinking about more about the products and less about the company's bottom line. Stanton seems an ideal choice to help revive Yahoo because she's worked for Yahoo, Google, and now Twitter. At Yahoo, she helped launch Yahoo Finance, and at Google, working under Mayer, she helped launch Google Finance. Stanton then had a brief stint working for the Obama administration, working on citizen participation.
Really?
Yes, this is a badass chick.
Awesome.
Now she's shaping Twitter's international experience. She knows popular products that people rely on and ideally could help oversee more big launches. If Mayer successfully manages to peel Stanton away from Twitter, she'd need to offer her a very big role. Since Stanton is a VP, ideally she'd become a high-powered Yahoo VP with some major responsibilities. Since former Yahoo interim CEO Ross Levinson, who was previously in charge of all media efforts, has left, there's a vacancy there. Stanton could also be put in charge of revamping Yahoo's popular but very outdated homepage. Ooh, nice. I like this. You know what I really like about this is the status quo is that women don't know how to do business. We're all emotional. So you can be emotional and do business. And this right here is so nice.
Exactly. And the next person who says that needs to be slapped, by the way.
Well, we all know they do.
Women have been running homes as businesses for centuries now. Don't even get it started.
Well, this is right now what she's doing is she's getting her team together, which is how we women operate. We don't just pick people because this is our golfing buddy. She already knows what this woman is capable of. So she's going to grab her and a couple more people, and then they're going to run with this ball, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to see what she does.
All right. I'm going to do probably two short ones here.
Do it.
Both pretty short. Her lawsuit settled. En-Mass Entertainment has settled a lawsuit with NCSoft over its massively multiplayer game Terra. The company, best known for Lineage and City of Heroes, sued the publisher of the game over claims that former NCSoft employees, who were developing the game under a new studio called Bluehole, had swiped assets from Lineage 3 and used them in the creation of Terra. Apparently, the two companies have come to some sort of amicable agreement. Details of the settlement were not disclosed. We are happy to have this distraction behind us, says Yong Taekbae, Corporate Development Director for En-Mass. We appreciate the support from all those who have believed in us. Our priority has been and always will be our fans and community. Terra will continue to thrive and provide a great player experience and value.
They lie!
Gamers alike. Yeah. I actually got invited to a beta weekend for that.
Did you go?
I think it might be this weekend. I'm going to have to check the date.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to be playing this weekend.
Yeah, you're going to be playing that other game.
That Walking Dead one? Yeah.
Yeah. All right, did we actually, besides last night, talk about what Ouya ended with?
Oh, we mentioned it, but do share for those who were not listening, namely you, Jay.
All right. The Ouya Kickstarter, you know, that we've all been a little bit in about, not for sure, closed with nearly, are you ready for this number? Are you in your seats? Are you holding on to your wallets? $8.6 million in funding.
Damn.
Ouch. Ah, that's nice. The Kickstarter for the Ouya has ended with organizers of the crowdfunding round raking in a final amount of $8,596,475. And it was from 63,416 backers. Apparently, all they were aiming for originally was $900,000. That's a huge difference. Huge difference. Wow. Anyways, as we said, we're still not for certain about this Ouya, but it does look like other developers are coming together to bring their games to it. So I guess we'll see. I don't know. What do you think? I still think that's a lot of money that they just raised for something that's only still in concept, more or less.
You know how I feel.
You just got $8 million. If this does not take off, it's nobody else's fault but your own.
I'm gonna reserve comment. And I'm going to, we're just going to go ahead and add this in. Every time I find something about zombies, we're going to give you the zombie watch. So, are you ready for zombie watch?
Zombie watch!
Oh, look, and I look, and look what else I picked up while we were waiting.
What'd you pick up?
Zombie watch!
Zombie watch! Today on Zombie Watch, we'll tell you about somebody who's
amazing. No, ma'am.
Sorry.
No, ma'am. Okay, Zombie Watch today is the newest game being released by Moonbyte Studios called Zombier the Game. I believe we told you about this. ZombierTheGame.com.
Oh, yay! Zombie than zombie.
Yes, they put up a new trailer on, I believe it's on their Facebook and up on their website.
Is it actually Zombier?
Zombie or like beer, Z-O-M-B-E-E-R.
Zombie ear. Okay, zombie ear. I was like more zombie, like zombie, more zombie than
zombie.
Zombie-er.
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 it's from European studio Moonbyte, and the animation is done from a company based in Spain. They're proudly presenting today their first gameplay trailer of the future first-person survival horror comedy shooter, Zombier, Zombies, and Beers. The first video features the very first gameplay action of Zombier, as well as appearances from the Octogun, a weapon that watches you. The Octogun. The Zombier leaders.
I swear to God, if that's not a gun that doesn't have Octomom's face on it.
If they were in the U.S., they probably would, but they're based out of Europe, so they might not know who Octomom is.
Oh, man. See, it can have, like, 8 barrels, and, you know,
The zombie leaders who will largely boost the performance of surrounding zombies, and, of course, a mysterious zombie in a mankini swimsuit. Zombier, Zombies and Beers is planned to be released on consoles, PC, and Mac by the end of the year. Fantastical. And Jay says he can't talk deep raining zombies.
All right. All right, so we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. PS3 released Silent Hill Konami released Silent Hill for the Xbox 360 and the PS3. The PS3 had horrible, horrible bugs to where, like, it was almost...
And castanets.
Yeah. Anyways, gamers who bought the PlayStation 3 version of Konami's game Silent Hill HD got a patch last month that dealt with a number of frame rate and audio sync issues. Good service, but those who bought the game on the Xbox 360 have pretty much been told to go pound salt. Konami issued a brief statement this week, noting that it wouldn't be releasing an update for Xbox 360 gamers who bought the game. The company said in a statement that it had to cancel the deployment of an Xbox 360 update because of technical issues and a lack of resources. Those who bought the game in good faith and expected a working product have basically been hung out to dry. The only condolence Konami is offering is a simple sentence: Konami apologizes to any players who are continuing to experience these issues on the Xbox 360 SKU. Apologies are great if they are followed, says the writer. If they're followed by actions, but apparently this is the only thing Silent Hill HD Xbox 360 owners are going to get, and that's just not cool.
It's not good enough.
They may not have the resources right now, and it may have technical issues. But I can't imagine that they're not going to eventually release something. That just doesn't seem right. Maybe they're saying, right now we can't do it, we're working on it, it'll be in the future, and when we do, you'll get it. But, I don't know.
Boo!
Because that sentence, nowhere in that sentence does it say, we're not ever going to release a patch for this. It just says, we're sorry for what you're going through. So,
boo.
At least it'll open. But yeah, still boo. Still boo! I mean, especially because I'm betting you guys paid, I wonder how much you paid for this, what, 30, 40 bucks? I'd be a little irritated. Could have got my nails done, thanks.
Several times over.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do the solar nails. So.
I don't do solar nails, so I could get my nails and my toesies done.
No, my nails are too, like, razor thin and brittle. If I don't get the solar nail, it'll just pop right off.
Really? You need to come hang out with me then.
Really?
Yeah, because see, listen to this. That's my nails.
No, my nails are like... You can't even hear them. They're. I can bend them. They are so weak.
Need to come hang out with me. I'll help you with that.
Awesome.
I'll give you a calcium transfusion.
Calcium transfusion?
Yes.
How do you give a calcium transfusion?
We can't talk about it on the air. Moving along.
All right.
Don't ask. All right. Oh, man, I accidentally closed my story. Okay, I got it open again. All right, from our other favorite company, Ninja Bee. It makes one of the coolest games ever.
You can't even hear it coming.
Yes, it's a Ninja Bee. You can't even hear it coming. One of my favorite games. I so rarely get to play it. Well, I get to play it, but I mostly want to play it in the winter. This is a winter game for me, World of Keflings. So the World of Keflings just got bigger thanks to a free, I said free, did you hear me say free? Free update that they released earlier today. Yes, adding support for Microsoft Studios' Avatar Fame Star program to A World of Keflings. The program, which offers players a chance to earn fame and other rewards by completing in-game challenges, adds a substantial amount of new content to the game, including a year's worth of free weekly quests, a new kingdom to build in, and more. The new kingdom features sandbox-style gameplay reminiscent of the first Keflings game, A Kingdom for Keflings. Once in the new kingdom, players will discover they can now build Kefling-sized ships that will sail the many seas and waterways scattered across the new map. They will also encounter the Rockstar Kefling, a new quest-giving Kefling who will set them to each weekly challenge. They'll give you a weekly challenge. Dadgummit, Ninja Bee! Completing these challenges gives players a chance to earn fame that will help them level up in Avatar Fame Star program and earn cool rewards like Avatar Fame Star costumes. Each completed weekly quest also unlocks a blueprint for one of more than 50 unique ships players can build for their Kefling fleet. But completing weekly quests is just one way players can earn fame in the World of Keflings. Today's update adds a slew of challenges similar to achievements that players can tackle to earn fame. Some challenges must be completed while playing the main campaign, while others are achieved while playing in any of the game's kingdoms, including the new Rockstar Weekly Challenge Kingdom, the Alien Kingdom from the It Came From Outer Space DLC, and the Candy Kingdom from the soon-to-be-released Sugar, Spice, and Not-So-Nice DLC. I love you guys at Ninja Bee.
Have you
played Kingdom for Keflings?
I have not. I've heard it's absolutely adorable, though.
It is, and it is a wintertime game. I say that because in the summertime, you don't really want to sit and build stuff, but...
Yeah.
In the winter, you're huddled up. It's cold. You see how I paint that picture? It's cold. You got your blanket, and it's either snowing, or if you're in Texas, it's ice. And it's all cloudy, and you can't go to work that day, and you really don't want to play anything heavy. You don't feel like shooting people, but you want to play something. So you play this, and you're a giant. Did you know that? You get to be a giant in the game, and you have to help your Keflings do things. You build buildings and make resources and stuff. It's a simulator. You know I love simulators. But the fun part is that when those people get to acting up, you can pick them up and throw them, which I do often. I throw my people all the time. Did you just tell me to build another church?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out whether or not this is a really, 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 really loud explosion truck thing I'm hearing, or if this is like... actual thunder.
Do we need to call the
thunder
police
would be
for you?
Awesome. Anyways,
do we need to call the police for you?
I'm sorry?
Do we need to call the police and send them to you?
I hope not. Heroes and Villains, new Lego Batman 2 DLC now available. Yay! I love me some Legos. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment announces two new downloadable content DLC packs for Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes. The UK All Formats chart-topping video game available for purchase beginning today at $1.36 pounds, francs, lindens, whatever the little backwards L sign is. No, right. It's not backwards. Anyways, on Xbox Live and PlayStation Network, I think that's actually Euros. The Heroes and Villains DLC pack unlocks exciting new sets of characters to play in free play mode. Who do we've got? We've got Nightwing, Katana, Shazam.
We did that yesterday, woman.
Did we? Because I just...
We did.
All right, maybe I went too far back in the news. All right, let me do this other one then. Brawlbusters expands with the 16th Warrior. I only love it because, you know, it sounds so close to something else that's hilarious. Rock Hippo Productions announced today that Brawlbusters, the popular multiplayer brawler, has launched an exciting new update, the 16th Warrior. This Rockets update will raise player limits, introduce gameplay features, and a new map. Players can download and play the game for free over at brawlbusters.com/splash. The 16th Warrior ups the ante on this wickedly cool action combat game by increasing player limits in team and versus modes to a staggering 16. players can now brawl at all outs with or against 15 other players. For those who enjoy more intimate brawling, a new map, Midnight Arena, has been introduced for one-on-one duels, and the character level cap has been increased. Players can now level up their busters all the way to level 40, up from 25. In addition, the new update will debut two new features that promises to raise the brawling action to the next level. No more waiting, with new intrusion feature, players can jump right in to join brawls already in progress. New observation feature will allow multiple players to watch and observe other players and really size up the competition. Awesome. So again, if you want to play this, brawlbusters.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is an... Am I muted?
No.
He's doing nom-nom in my face. So I had to be sure. Right. I was screaming for help.
Oh, you're right. I did go too far back in the news. All
right. Well, there's an interesting article up from our peoples over at GI International this morning. Is something we were discussing last night. If you missed the show, too bad, so sad for you. But what's going to happen with Valve and Microsoft? Well, the one thing we didn't discuss last night is, you know, that Microsoft will be having their own digital distribution portal again. They had one before, as Ginger was shared with us last night. The announcement that Valve is set to expand its digital distribution service beyond the realms of game software confirms a number of longstanding rumors and assumptions about the service. It suggests that Valve, a company noted for its broad ambitions and experimental approach, not only to gaming, but also to education, augmented reality, and a host of other areas, has recognized the fact that in creating the Steam service to distribute first its own games and later games of other publishers and developers, it has pushed itself to the forefront of digital distribution revolution, and now it wants to seize that opportunity. The problem is, it's a rapidly receding opportunity. Valve presently has around 40 million active users on Steam, which is a huge community to which to sell software. However, with the release of Windows 8, Microsoft will follow in the footsteps of Apple by introducing its own software marketplace to the system. And there are indications that software on the new Windows interface, formerly known as Metro, as Ginger told us last night, may only be available through Microsoft's store. Now, this shouldn't impact on the games market. Games will still be released for the traditional Windows interface since they don't take advantage of the GUI at all, let alone require Metro's new tile-based interface. However, it does indicate a lockdown of the Windows system, bringing it a little closer to some sort of semi-closed environment more commonly seen on mobile platforms like iOS and Windows Phone, or indeed an Apple's Mac iOS. Now, despite the dire warnings about such a move, which have been issued by Valve's Gabe Newell and backed up by the likes of Blizzard, the reality is that this isn't necessarily a bad move from a consumer's perspective. Just as Apple's role as a usually benign gatekeeper, there have been slip-ups, as we all know, with them, has kept the iOS store. Yeah, it has kept the iOS app store mostly free of malware, spyware, and viruses, and also... They're saying their mind is boggled at the fact that Android users are encouraged to use antivirus software on their mobile phones. A similar regime could help keep Windows PCs safer and more secure. Equally, while plenty of people will decree a Microsoft software store as anti-competitive, the truth is a little more nuanced. The iOS App Store is, in theory, anti-competitive. It's the only place you can get software for your iPhone or iPad. You can't shop around for a better price. And nobody is upset about this. However, prices on the iOS store have dropped rapidly over the years to the point where a price point of either free or 69 cents is now absolutely standard, or 99 cents for us. Why? Because the store itself may have no competition. But competition within the store is fierce. Never before have consumers had such a selection of software available to them, which makes them incredibly picky and incredibly price conscious. So, in fact, going back to Steam, you could make the argument that it's been seen pretty much the same evolution. Unlike iOS, it hasn't moved towards a free-to-play model for games, mm-hmm. and it's not really in Valve's interest for that to happen. But prices have tended downwards. It's hard to sell a 2-year-old PC game for $20 when it's sitting in an immense storefront alongside other countless titles. Publishers have been forced to take a strong dose of realism, not by pressure from Valve, but simply by the commercial reality of being in a genuinely competitive marketplace. Might not the Windows 8 store do the same for other types of software?
Maybe. I don't know.
Another interesting point that they brought up, this is while Steam actually does what it does well isn't necessarily selling software. What it is an IM network, a social network, and most interestingly of all, it's a very public way to show off your game collection. But that doesn't make it fantastical. Steam, they said it in effect, has become the digital era evolution of your bookshelf, specifically the bookshelf in your front room next to your desk where you stash all of your books you want people to see when they're visiting you. It can be quite subconscious, but we all do it to some extent, and it's done in such a way that the visitor will get the impression that we want to give or start a conversation we'd like to have. As some people take it too far, buying folio society editions of literary classics, which they never intend to read, just in order to impress their guests. I like the reason. It's true. But they're saying, of course, through its social networking function, Steam has become a visible bookshelf for us, for those of you who have it. And that is something they don't think that that's something that can be replicated with creative or productivity software. So by having all that junk that they're planning to put on Steam may not be the best thing to do. Equally, it's not something that the Windows 8 store will replicate for games, which gives Steam kind of an advantage at this point. With a potential rival. We're going to wait and see what happens here. The store components of Steam, they're saying it may actually be its Achilles heel, but if not done properly. So good luck to you, Valve and Windows. I can't wait to see it. Ginger and I have the oil ready to toss in when y'all begin to wrestle, because it's coming. How long do we have? Less than a month?
Yeah.
Or a little over a month before Windows 8 tablet and everything hits. Do you think that... Do you think that, wow, we got a lot of stuff happening at the end of this month. I wonder if this is going to dwarf the new iPhone that's supposed to be out September 12th. How are they going to do once the Windows tablet hits? This is because it's going to be right on its tail. That's going to be so interesting. Ginger ain't listening.
Sorry.
I'm a little... All right, okay. Smile.
Rumble down under. Australian Green Senator Scott Ludlam slams government over TPP. According to a Computer World Australia report, Australian Greens Senator Scott Ludlam has some harsh words for the Australian federal government for its part in pushing the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, which is currently in negotiations in the U.S. The treaty is an agreement between Pacific Rim countries such as Australia, Brunei, Chile, Malaysia, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, Vietnam, and the U.S. The secrecy of the TPP negotiations has been widely criticized, and a recent leak of some draft text for those negotiations has shown that both Australia and the U.S. are pushing for strong copyright infringement measures. In his remarks, Ludlam blasted the Australian federal government for trying to lock Australia into what he considers a dead-end copyright treaty. The Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, if the USA gets its way, will cause huge problems for Australia, but our federal government is backing Washington to the hilt, he says. Not content with supporting the ill-fated Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement, ACTA, which would endanger the legal status of generic medicines and was overwhelmingly rejected by the European Parliament, the trade minister is now pushing for an agreement that offers no protection for copyright exceptions enshrined in Australian law. ACTA was an absolute dud, and the government wanted to jump on board before the Australian Law Reform Commission's inquiry had even warmed up. Ludlam goes on to say that Australian copyright laws and the civil liberties of its citizens are being put at risk by TPP negotiators. He says New Zealand, with the support of Chile, Malaysia, Brunei, Vietnam, proposed this clause to permit a signatory to carry forward and appropriately extend into the digital environment limitations and exceptions in its domestic laws. Only the United States and our own government oppose this perfectly reasonable provision, which is why the government promoting the erosion of our independence in this way?
Because they can.
Good question. Yeah. Hello.
And then she's going to yawn. We're going to cut her.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be one of those days all day today. Yeah.
All right. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some worms. Aren't you ready for worms, Ginger?
Totally ready for worms. As long as I don't have to, drag my butt across the floor.
Ew.
What?
Ginger, you're nasty.
Yeah, but you love me.
You're that dirty, dirty, dirty girl.
Yeah, but that's also why he loves me.
This is true. So I got a short one, and then I got another long one.
Yay!
Have you ever wondered about the nature of worms? Just,
That they're gross and they're weird because if you cut them in half, they become two entities?
Well, I don't know about all that.
Crap a brain all of a sudden? What the hell?
I don't know about all of that. But the new game that we've been telling you about for a couple of weeks, called Worms the Revolution, has released a new intro movie up on YouTube that you can watch. That's supposed to tell you all about the nature of worms. It's an introduction video. This introduction movie is supposed to feature a very informative talk from the unseen narrator of the game, Don Keystone himself, who's one of the creators. Worm Revolution will be coming to your PC, your PS3, your Xbox 360 in just a few months, they say. But you can go and check out their video on YouTube. You can look it up. And I'm going to actually try to tweet it, but we all know how Frankie gets. Frankie may not want to tweet anything for you all. Frankie's a mean, mean girl. Ginger.
What?
You already told me that.
All right, well, no, well, this is news. This is brand new news. I knew it was coming up. I just didn't know what date.
You told me. I remember.
Okay.
Okay. What else was I doing? Oh, yes. Remember those people, the ones that originally held the record for the quickest funded Kickstarter ever, and they got beat up by Ouya? Mm-hmm. Double fine.
Yeah. Double fine, because they're doubly fine.
That's right. They got beat out. They raised originally $3.3 million via crowdfunding site Kickstarter to fund Double Fine Adventure, an upcoming adventure game that's being made with your money. But that's not all Double Fine is working on, and that's not the only way the San Francisco company has raised money. The story behind Double Fine's creative financing shows the links the company will go to in order to not just survive as an indie game development studio, but to thrive and earn more money to fund future games while preserving its independence. They said, we're making a switch from console work for hire to going direct-to-consumer and free-to-play projects. That's from one Mr. Justin Bailey, who's the Vice President of Business Development at Double Fine. So that process has taken place over the last 18 months. If you think of the Kickstarter money as project-specific or a kind of seed round, then the next batch of money may come from real investors. So that Wow, that's kind of an insult. So that Double Fine can move to more projects and more platforms, said Greg Rice, the producer of Double Fine Adventure. According to VentureBeat, the 12-year-old game studio has been very dependent on game publishers in the past. Schaefer left his job as a game designer at LucasArts in 2000 and started Double Fine Productions that year. The company created Psychonauts, an acclaimed original platform game. Yeah, that was published by Majesco for the original Xbox back in 2005. I know a lot of you that were addicted to that. That one never caught on with me. Then it made Brutal Legend, a comic rock star adventure game that EA published back in 2009. During this time, Schaefer established himself as one of the zany, most creative people in the video game business. He was hilarious as the MC of one of the recent Game Award shows, and his creativity is reflected in the humor and original stories in his adventure games. His personality came through in his various Kickstarter promo videos and that no doubt helped his company to raise even more money via the fans. He says, we try to be as creative with our business development as we are with our games. We're always on the lookout for ways to break the traditional mold for the game funding. So when we see new opportunities come up like Kickstarter, angel investment, or other alternative funding models, even though they might seem new and risky at the time, they're also very attractive to us because, let's face it, anything beats a traditional game funding model. It's like a loan with a really terrible interest rate. No revenue, usually until you're not just paid back the development cost, but paid it back many times over, plus lots of entanglements with intellectual property usually. Double Fine might have continued in that pattern, but its games weren't mega hits despite Psychonauts receiving heaps of critical acclaim. And publishers have become even more risk-averse these days. Yes, Double Fine has managed to get traditional deals with both Sega and Microsoft making games for them. But on top of this, Schaefer turned to Kickstarter, where he raised far more money than he ever hoped to get his next game, Double Fine Adventure. Kickstarter allowed Double Fine to fund a big game without giving up any equity. And if that game does well, it will likely fund yet another game. Okay, I'm going to cut this because it's a very long story. Mm-hmm. But I must say, I don't like the fact that they said this money could come from real investors. The people that gave you money are real people, and they are investing in you without expecting any return. You shouldn't call them. You shouldn't refer to them as not real investors. I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right. More girl power. Girl power. Ella Romanos and Martha Hinson to keynote Women in Games Conference 2012. That's going to be happening September 26th in London, UK.
That's right.
Yay! Women in Games Jobs is pleased to announce that this year's European Women in Games Conference will take place on September 26, 2012 at the Hilton Hotel, Kensington in London. The theme of this year's conference is the evolving of the games industry and the opportunities that creates for that this creates for all. Ella Romanos and Ella Romanos, indie of Remote Studios, will give a keynote on HTML5, FAD, or Future. Martha Henson of Welcome Collection will also speak on drugs, bugs, and neuroscience, a formula for successful learning games. Jenna Jackson, CEO of WIGJ, commented and says, I am delighted that we can announce our first two women speakers. Ella and Martha are innovators in their areas, and I believe we can learn much from both of them. The conference will be a celebration of the achievements of women working in the games industry, and I hope we will act as an inspiration for other women at all levels to come and join us. We will invite anyone wanting to be inspired and learn about our changing industry to come and join us on September 26th. All right, so if you want to get the early bird tickets, which are priced at £25, francs, euros, or whatever those are, you can do that over at wigconference2012.eventbrite.com. The conference starts at 1 o'clock on the 26th of September and finishes at 5 o'clock with sponsored drinks to follow until 7 p.m. Register for the conference opens at 12:15 at the Hilton Hotel Kensington. Yay! And they say further announcements on the speaker lineup will follow.
And
that's
awesome.
I wish we could go to that.
Yeah, and I just tweeted it. Hello, Women in Game Jobs, if y'all want to toss us a little hotel room and a ticket.
Okay, welcome.
We'd be very glad to
Rock
show
the
up.
Rock place, yeah. We will bring our American accents, which I know you think are so charming. So bring us. I promise we won't be too loud. No, we will be loud.
I see how I paused.
But it'd be awesome.
I'm loving, it's actually not that expensive. Man, I want to go. You want to go? I'm like, man, I wish, I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they go? Why can't they go?
Well, I know. Never mind.
What you mean? What you mean? Why you mean, Ginger? Why you mean?
Nothing. Just say, I can go.
Oh. Yeah, you can't go either.
I know. I can go.
This ain't going to do with fear.
I can go.
All right. Out on the web, images from Connect 2 have been leaked.
Connect 2?
I don't know why we even got a Connect 2, honestly. Source behind the recent Durango DevKit leak published some images showing improved Connect 2 technology. The source of the recent Xbox Durango DevKit leak has released yet another image illustrating the refined Connect technology's capabilities. The anonymous source known as DAE published the image on Twitter, and it shows the Connect detecting the outline of two users' clothing to a relatively high degree of detail and is tracking one user's hand and fingers even as it passes in front of his body. DAE leaked images of the Xbox Durango kit back in July when he attempted to sell it on a developer forum in what he later claimed was a joke. Initially, it was thought to be a hoax, but Digital Foundry's Richard Ledbetter located DAE and subsequently confirmed that the images were the real deal. If you want to check out...
The real deal.
Yeah, we will go ahead and retweet this for you in case you want to check it out. I'm not impressed, really. I don't know why we need a Connect 2. Well, I
know, they haven't even... The Kinect 1 really didn't go so well, and there's so much more that could be done with just the regular Kinect. Come on, man.
What it is the next generation of game developers that are going to be able to think in ways that's going to make the Kinect work properly. And I don't mean properly as in function, but I mean do something with it where you're like, damn, this is a good game. You know, where did they come up with the idea for this? Well, those people are still in kindergarten. So... We either need to go and scoop them up and start getting them trained quickly, or you all need to put this away for a later time because it's not going so well right now.
No, it's not. You've given us some interesting games, I guess, with the Kinect. Like, what is it, Zumba and stuff like that is kind of cool. But for the most part, you've not given us any, like, hardcore gaming games.
Well, this is where they missed the boat when doing something exercise games with the Kinect, is that this is where Wii still hasn't beat, is that balance board. The balance board can check your weight. It can also help your form, so you know if you're standing right or if you're standing too far to the left or right. And a lot of people don't know that your Wii can do this. And did you ever do the Wii Fit? You did the Wii Fit, right?
Yes.
Remember when it also gives you tips, it tells you why some people, old people, need canes is because their lower body is not strong enough or they end up, you know, teaching themselves to stand wrong. And the balance board actually teaches you how to do that. The Kinect, even when they put out the Kinect 2, will not be able to do that. It cannot sense a shift in your weight. I mean, it's kind of, that's where they they left it out. And they're like, oh, we don't need the controller. But if you had given me a balance board without having to hold the Wiimote in my hand, I would have been all for that.
Yes.
That,
oh, my God,
that thing.
Exactly.
Because I love that. And I did notice I stand a lot to my left, or I lean a lot to the left. And once that corrected, I was having back problems. And believe it or not, just doing Wii Fit and it correcting me, telling me, you know, you're leaning too far to the left when you stand, it helps. I don't have any more back ache. It's good.
That's true, yeah. All right, so we've got more fun coming to, well, I say coming to town, but it's not coming to our town.
Never coming to our town.
Yeah, eventually. The Art of Video Games exhibit coming to Boca Raton, Florida. The Art of Video Games exhibit from the Smithsonian American Art Museum is invading the Boca Raton Museum in Boca Raton, Florida on October 24th. In fact, the Boca Raton Museum of Art will be the first museum in the nation to host the Smithsonian American Art Museum's exhibition following the successful run in Washington, D.C. The exhibit will run from October 24th to January 13th of 2013, and it's being sponsored by FMS Bonds Incorporated. In case you have forgotten, the Art of Video Games gives visitors a lesson on the 40-year evolution of video games as an art form, offering graphic storytelling and player interactivity that can only be experienced through video games. During its stay in South Florida, the Boca Raton Museum of Art will offer a variety of programs and educational opportunities for visitors of all ages and interests as well. A companion book, The Art of Video Games, From Pac-Man to Mass Effect, written by curator Chris Melissinos, will be available for purchase in the museum store, too. The book is published by Welcome Books and examines each of the 80 featured games from development to their impact on culture. That's actually kind of cool. I wish I were closer. I would go to that.
Well, with this kind of a couple of days old, but I wanted to share it because I happen to have one of these little gadgets and I absolutely adore it. Remember me telling you about the Square, the thing you plug into your phone and you can use it?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Okay, so this particular company is teaming up with Starbucks, and Starbucks is going to be investing $25 million. I'm also mentioning this because, you know, I got my stock in Starbucks. In surprising news, mobile payment startup Square has announced an extensive partnership with Starbucks. Among the terms of the partnership, Square will power Starbucks credit and debit card payments nationwide. Starbucks will invest $25 million in the startup as part of its fourth round funding. Additionally, Starbucks president and CEO Howard Schultz will join Square's board, and Starbucks will accept pay with Square across the nation later this year, which will let you pay for orders directly from your phone. Don't expect to see the iconic Square card readers, however, though. Dorsey and Schultz did do a press release, which we did not get to see because I was drinking Starbucks probably that day instead of paying attention. The Square directory will also see a tremendous boost from the deal. The directory within the Pay and Square app will list nearby Starbucks locations and will alert Starbucks customers of Square-equipped businesses, which it already does, actually. And Starbucks will eventually integrate the directory into its digital services, including its already popular mobile app, which is badass. It tells you every place in the vicinity of where you are that you can go and shop or pay and buy stuff. You can also sell things with the Square reader. And a lot of you have seen it on TV where they say you can swipe it and, you know, from anywhere and hold a sale. But you can actually find places in the directory now and swipe your card and pay for things and then show up and pick it up. Tell me that's not hot.
That is totally hot.
Of course, the news they're saying has tremendous implications for Square since it's the company's first major partnership with a national chain. Square has sold itself as the best solution for individuals and small businesses to take credit card payments. But if it can power a massive enterprise like Starbucks, it's clear that the company's ambitions lay far beyond hipster's tag sales. San Francisco, California-based Square has raised $141 million so far, and it's rumored to be working on a massive $200 million round, which would value it at about $3.25 billion. Starbucks is large investment today definitely points to something major happening in Square's next round. CEO and founder of Square, Jack Dorsey, sent along an email to the company's customers the other night, that says, "I am pleased and proud to announce that today Starbucks signed up for Square. Square began with a really simple idea. Everyone should be able to accept credit cards. It should be easy and free to get set up. It should use simple technology people already own. And most importantly, it should instantly adapt to any size business, from the person chasing a dream to the largest organization on the planet. By embracing Square, Starbucks has validated these ideas as powerful tools, not just for small businesses, but for smart businesses. It's amazing to think that Starbucks began as a simple coffee shop in Seattle. The concept of taking a good idea and helping it grow is not foreign to them. And Starbucks doesn't just view Square as the simplest way to accept payments. They see an opportunity to extend and accelerate a model that they grew with. I like the idea. And
that
I love
is awesome.
I love my Square. I'm looking for a reason to use it.
There's a little coffee shop here in town, a little bitty coffee shop, tiny little hole in the wall place, and they use that. And it's so cool. They hook
it
up to their little iPhone or whatnot, yeah.
It's free. Those of you who are out there who are selling a couple things, you know, like Ginger, who makes a lot of crafts, gaming crafts. Ginger?
I only make like one, and I make it for me. And
that's why it should be called Gaming Couture. That's what we do here. Have I not told Chalk you anything? I said we have Gamer Couture, one of a kind. They can't get it anywhere else but from the Ginger. And when we get, like, whenever we get our new site up, I'm sorry, y'all, I'm tired. Mama's been working hard. But whenever we get it up, we'll have a store. Ginger, put those things up and tell them if they come to you, they can get it from you. You can only get one of a kind things.
Yeah, I'm going to have to because I found a little bracelet thing that I made for myself. It's like simple and easy, and it's so cute.
The thing is, can you part with it?
I may have to make one in a different fabric.
that's always my problem.
That is mine.
that is always my problem, is that I make stuff and then I love it so much I don't want to part with it. But I'm going to start making
it.
Like put
it. It's so adorable. It's so adorable.
I have a pearl necklace like that.
I got to do that.
Look, I got a pearl necklace like that. No, and not that kind of pearl necklace, you dirty people. It's actually a pearl necklace. Remember we were doing Pixinista the other night? Remember the Pixinista, the pearl necklace? Yeah, I have one, a real one like that I made, that the pearls, you know, go around the neck and then they hang down the back.
Ooh,
and I cannot bear to part with it. I've had it. I made it years ago, and I cannot part with it. I love it,
but
I'm going to sell it.
Something, I don't know if they are here, if they are in, all right, there's a pearl. I don't know if it's just a Texas thing or what, but there are certain clams in the Brazos River. You open them up, and you get these beautiful, beautiful blue pearls.
Those are a lot of money.
Are they? Because,
yeah.
You know, we used to look at those all the darn time. And I never see anybody make jewelry out of those. It's always those white ones. And I'm just not a fan of those. But those dark blue, almost kind of gray blue pearls? Oh,
yes.
So sexy.
Those are worth a ton of money, Ginger Man. But don't you have to have a special drill to do that?
I don't know, but I have a necklace and a bracelet made out of them. And
did you drill it yourself, the hole in it?
No. I went camping, and there was a little mom-and-pop store thing that I went into, and the lady there had made them. And I bought it for, like, $8.
Oh, I was saying, did you find them, and how did you get the hole? Because they don't come with the hole in them.
No. She did. She drilled some sort of little hole through.
She's got a drill. I'm going to have to find that out, because if not, I can come up your way, and we can just make a day of that. We're just out picking up pearls.
I've got another necklace that she made out of driftwood. It's a flower, a little rose.
Ooh, hot.
Yeah.
Hot.
And I wear that thing all the damn time. All right, so we have a couple of minutes left. This one is medium, so I'm going to try to break it down. Boston Festival of Indie Game Submission Deadline Extended. All right, there is a new game submission deadline, and it is going to be until midnight, PST, 3 a.m. EST, on Monday, August 20th. The Boston Festival of Indie Games highlights the best independently developed games in the country. It's presented by MIT Game Lab and Boston Indies. This year's events is scheduled to take place on Saturday, September 22nd at the MIT campus and at the Microsoft Nerd Center. It's free and open to the public. The main point of the festival of the Indie Games Showcase is to provide indies with an opportunity to show off their games, get feedback from the public, and to have a shot at winning prizes including full versions of Adobe Creative Suite and Unity Pro licenses. Developers interested in submitting their games for consideration will have to pay an entry fee of only $15. While students get a slightly discounted fee of $10, voting on all the games will be submitted will be open to the public on the day of the event. Non-digital games, street games, interactive fiction, or tabletop games can be submitted to the festival on a non-fee, non-competitive basis. The line of guest curators for this year's event includes Paul Nureth, creative director of Zynga Boston, Tim Delmock, senior designer for Harmonix, Ayatin Glennert, creative director for Firehose Games, and Philip Tan, U.S. executive director for the Singapore MIT Gambit Game Lab. All right, you want to learn more? BostonFig.com. That's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah, I wish I were in the Boston area. I'd go to that.
We need to be able to go some of everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Somebody, We need to supply some tickets.
Somebody? Was it Sony?
Oh, I said somebody.
Oh, they said Sony. I was like, well, Sony.
I need contact for these, like, flight lines and be all like, you know what? We will totally advertise and talk about how great you are if you get some tickets. No, maybe I'll be like, you know what? I will tattoo your name to my arm if you give us free tickets.
Aww. See, Ginger loves you.
I love you so much. It'll go right here on the, like, the upper inside.
Yeah, you already got your name QR coded on you. You don't need no more tattoos. That's enough for you. No more for you.
That's on the lower inside of the left arm. Right arm is still there.
All right, lovely people. It's time for us to go.
Well, she pulled out that song.
I sure did. You all have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you bright and early Monday morning. And, of course, we're all over the place over the weekend. So just watch Twitter, Facebook. We'll be somewhere. Jen.
Later, boys and girls.